who you are.
Biological family.
My dad's grandfather.
My ancestry.
My family.
Second cousin, twice removed.
Twice removed.
Don't worry, at least we all are together. Don't worry.
Hey everyone, it's AJ Jacobs here, host of Twice Removed. Well, I've got some news. This is the last episode of the show. We're wrapping it up. If you've listened to the show, and I hope you have, because this would be kind of a weird introduction. If you've listened to the show, you know that it's big, it's complicated, it requires months of research and reporting to put together a single episode. And ultimately, it proved to be just a little too big, a little too complicated. We loved making the show. We loved hearing from you, our wonderful listeners. In the end, we just didn't feel like we could keep making Twice Removed at a high enough quality for what you deserved. So we're ending it with one last story. But first, some personal news. I have a new book coming out in November. It's on a similar topic. It's called It's All Relative: Adventures Up and Down the World's Family Tree. And like Twice Removed, it's got, I hope, funny, surprising, sometimes heartbreaking stories. There's DNA, separated at birth twins, Miley Cyrus, a family with eight dads, Mormons. And like Twice Removed, the goal is to offer just a little hope that we can overcome this crazy us versus them moment we're in right now. It's All Relative is my favorite book I've ever written. I'm very sad to say goodbye to Twice Removed, but maybe the book will help fill the Twice Removed hole in your heart. You can pre-order the book and sign up for updates at ajjacobs.com, ajjacobs.com. Again, thank you for spending some time with us this past year. We had a lot of fun, and we hope you'll enjoy this final story. It's different from our usual show. Instead of taking two people and figuring out how they're related, this is a story about two people who, completely by accident, found out they were related all by themselves. Our producer, Eric Mennel, has the story.
Okay, today is April 28th, 2015. My name is Christy Dawn Romaine. Where to start?
Christy Romaine is a photographer in Seattle, and her story starts with one of the most important people in her life, her 95-year-old grandpa, Don.
Actually, some of his friends call him Walter for Walter Matthau because he looks a lot like him. He's really tall and has a big nose. I think in his heyday, he was 6'4". He was always the grandparent who was easy to be silly with.
My best memories are when we were in outings together.
This is Don, Christy's grandfather. She talked with him for this story.
When we were gathered around the picnic table and some fishing. So we just really had a ball. Sometimes we'd even break open a beer, I think.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Christy's grandmother, Helen, passed away when Christy was just a kid. So over the years, she's grown especially close to Don. They have a great relationship, loving, caring, no secrets between them. At least, that's what Christy thought. See, about 3 years ago, just before Don turned 93, Christy made a decision that would go on to call all of that into question.
For my grandfather's 93rd birthday, we decided to get him a DNA kit because my grandpa's been working on our family tree for a very long time, and it's something he and I have worked on together. And, you know, I don't know, it could be interesting.
The way a DNA kit works, the kind you might get from Ancestry.com or 23andMe, is they send you a tube. You spit in that tube, and you send it back. The company analyzes your spit to see from where your DNA might originate. Basically, everyone's DNA has little footnotes on it. Some that say Eastern Europe, some that say Africa. Anyway, Christy set her grandpa up with one of these kits. They sent the kit back, and a couple of months later, Christy, who was managing the whole thing, got an email with the results.
Yeah, so we got the results and we pulled up the computer and showed him the chart of we're this percent Irish and this percent Welsh. I think it wasn't very surprising except for the small percentage where we maybe have some like Middle Eastern heritage in there that was kind of interesting and neat to see.
Okay, mildly interesting. nothing to write home about. So they just kind of filed the results away and didn't think much about them.
It was like maybe 3 or 4 months later, I got an email from Ancestry.com saying, hey, we started this new thing where we're connecting the DNA results, test results in our entire database together to see if you have distant relatives you don't know about. I just opened it up, like I'm going to log into the account to see what was there. There was a list of maybe 20 sixth or seventh cousins. So it listed the cousins, and then above that, it said possible parent-child match.
This meant Don had either a parent or a child who had also taken the test. Now, Don's parents had been dead for many, many years, and neither of his two children, Christy's father or aunt, had sent in a test. So Christy thought,
like, oh yeah, this must be some weird glitch in their system. I was very dismissive of it, but I didn't totally drop it.
The email from Ancestry didn't give much information, but there was a starting point.
Not a name or a family tree, but just some initials. VLP.
VLP.
Yeah, VLP. It was baffling. I did click on the initials, then it gives you options. It's like, do you want to send this person a message or whatever? So I sent him a little message and said, hey, it looks like there's a connection with this account and my grandfather's account, and I would be curious to explore this. If you're open to it, please reach out to me. And then weeks went by and I never heard anything back.
What Christy didn't know was that about 2,000 miles away, somebody had received her message. This guy.
Holy shit.
This is Fred Childs. He was in charge of the account with the initials VLP.
I really hadn't been focusing on my genealogy, if I guess, for probably a couple months, I don't know. I just hadn't gotten back to it. And then one day I saw that I had a message. It said parent-child. I said, my gosh, that's her father. That's her biological father.
At 93 years old, Don Lloyd was about to learn he had another daughter. Fred wrote back to Christy.
So the first message I got from them was this one. It says, hello, Christy. I've been away from my genealogy for a while, and I just read your message. Please let me say it may be a delicate matter. VLP is my sister-in-law, and she asked me to be the administrator of her DNA testing. She is age 71, born in January 1944 in Denver, Colorado during World War II. Based on the results of the DNA testing, I believe that Donald F. Lloyd is her father. In one moment, everything you think you know about your family is all unbraiding. And you're trying to reorganize all the information to make sense of this new information because everything's coming to mind. Was my grandpa unfaithful to my grandmother? Did he know about this? Does he not know about this? Is this a secret he's been carrying his whole life? I just decided I need to sit on it for 24 hours. I'm going to do nothing for 24 hours and just let it settle in. Because if I react in this space, I might do something I regret.
She decided to write him a letter. She told him what she had learned about the daughter, and she said she wasn't going to tell her parents. If this was Don's secret, it was up to him to decide how to handle it. Christy put the letter in the mail, and she waited. One day, 2 days, 3 days, and then?
It was Monday. I was at home. The phone rang.
She could see it was Don, her grandfather, calling.
I, like, ran into the backyard and, like, locked myself out of the house, basically, so it would be an uninterrupted phone call. And my heart was pounding. I was scared and excited at the same time because at least he was calling. Like, if the phone was ringing, already my worst-case scenario has gone away. And then it was, I would say, probably one of the top three conversations of my life. It was wonderful. He just said, honey, I got your letter. I am in shock and I'm amazed, but this is fantastic. I can't believe this. Like, tell me more. Who is this woman? You know, who was her mother? I don't know. I need to know more about that. And so when did this happen? And are you sure she's mine? I have another daughter. This is so exciting. It was phenomenal. It truly, I cried. I cried on the phone with him.
Don remembers having a slightly different reaction.
You're crazy. Here I am, an old man, and you're telling me I have another daughter. The truth is, I did think you were a little off your rocker and trying to get me in trouble, is what I thought.
Ye of little faith.
Yeah.
Who was the first person you talked to after you read the letter?
$5 Dave, my companion, my friend.
A quick but important note here, $5 Dave got his name because the restaurant he likes to go to serves a very good $5 lunch special, which Dave always orders. Hence, $5 Dave.
And he said, be careful, be careful. Anything you have is going to be split with that lady that you say is your daughter. And I said, I'm not saying she's my daughter. My granddaughter's telling me that.
At any rate, Don did give Christy permission to tell her parents. So that night, she called them up and she turned on a recorder.
Hello?
Hello, what are you doing?
What's going on?
This is Christy's mom, Trella. Christy's dad, Scott, is also on the line. He is Don's son. So this mystery woman, VLP, she would be Scott's sister.
Okay, so do you remember when Grandpa was visiting just 2 weeks ago and how I was talking about that Ancestry.com account?
Yeah.
I logged in to see if Grandpa was connected. At the very top of the list, it said possible parent-child match.
What?
Yeah, it was really weird. And
what's that mean?
Well, it means that Grandpa's DNA matched so closely with someone else's DNA that
he could have a kid out there.
That it was likely that he was the parent and they were the child. So,
wow.
Christy explained that the woman claiming to be Don's daughter was 71. She was born in Denver during World War II, and her birth certificate gave a mother's name, Ellen. But there was no father listed.
So.
Oh, that is something else.
Isn't that wild?
So 71, if she's 71 right now, she would have been the first child.
Yeah. You didn't know?
Nope.
No.
No.
Okay.
No idea.
Now, there were a couple of curiosities. Don had been stationed in Denver during the war, but this woman, she was born after he had deployed overseas. And so the family thinks, maybe Don got Helen pregnant before they were married. He went off to war, and then she gave the baby up for adoption, listing her name as Ellen, without ever telling Don.
So he probably doesn't really even know that there was a child out there.
That's
maybe she didn't share
like.
That.
That's what it sounds like.
Oh my God.
So
do I have a sister out there?
I think
yes.
You do, Dad. I think you
An
have
older
a sister.
Sister. So incredible.
So I should have told you guys ahead of time, but I like recorded this whole conversation.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Well, I think it's really cool, honey. I mean, just was making me kind of weepy just listening to the different parts of it.
I know.
Oh.
Okie dokie, artichokey. I love you.
Love you, honey.
Bye.
Good job.
Thank you. Love you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
The call ended. Christy kept recording herself.
The sheer miracle that my grandfather is 94 years old and still alive to possibly meet this woman, it's just incredible. And it's incredible to think about my grandmother and if in fact she was the birth mom, having to keep a secret like that from my grandpa for their entire life together. And how hard that would have been to like bury that secret. And I can't imagine dying with it.
After talking with her parents, there was only one person left for Christy to reach out to.
Finding Don Lloyd at my age is like a bombshell.
This is VLP, Virginia. Everyone calls her Jenny.
I was born in Denver and immediately adopted. My dad's family were all farmers. They adopted me first, and then there was two other girls that they adopted in time. Country people, very simple.
The fact that she was adopted was not a surprise to Jenny. And in fact, she wasn't trying to find her biological dad.
When we were growing up, all of us girls were told very young that we were adopted and that that was a special thing because they got to choose us. But never, ever did I ever want to search out my biological parents because I didn't want to interrupt their lives. I thought if there was a situation where people couldn't raise their child, why should I, as an adult, come and interrupt their lives?
It's easy to forget that this whole thing had come as a surprise to Ginny, too. After all, it was her brother-in-law who had her take the DNA test, who managed the whole thing. After 70 years, she'd grown comfortable with what her family was and what she knew about them. That was now being upended. After some more digging, they were able to verify who Ginny's birth mother was. Turns out she wasn't Don's wife, Helen, but an entirely different woman, coincidentally named Ellen. Which meant that Don had slept with someone else around the same time he met his future wife. Someone he'd forgotten about. The family figured it was time to get together, to let father and daughter finally meet. They hoped seeing Ginny might spark a memory for Don and help them piece things together.
So it took us all summer to figure it out, but my grandfather's birthday, his 94th birthday, was coming up, so we were going to have a big birthday party for him in Boise and invited Ginny and her husband Bill to come for the party to meet for the first time.
Okay, today is September 12th, 2015, and my name is Christy Romaine. I am about to have my family come together.
This is from an audio diary Christy recorded that weekend.
I just feel like I am so excited at the idea of having another family member. It's like Christmas. I'm just so excited about it.
Well, I was a little nervous. You know, I'm meeting strangers for the first time, but what really upset me was when I realized that as we went into Idaho, we were going into a different time zone and we were going to be late.
There was this like awkward waiting period where everyone was, I think, sitting a little on pins and needles. And she walked in the door and there were hugs around immediately.
It's amazing that I kept my composure and didn't go boo-hooing all over his shoulder.
Oh my gosh, she looks so much like him. It's amazing. She has his same nose and round facial features. I didn't actually realize how little my dad and aunt looked like my grandpa until I saw Ginny.
I was raised in, everyone called me Virginia. And then when I got married, everyone in his family calls me Ginny.
Okay. So. And it just kind of stuck.
Yeah.
Christy set up a recorder in the middle of the room. They settled into small talk. But before long, they got to the business at hand. How did this all happen? Christy's mom started in, asking Don about having slept with another woman.
But before you met Mother, there was another woman that you were with.
Maybe
that's briefly. What you say, but I don't believe it.
Well, I don't come out of
all that
air.
Beer, you know, too, that he was.
But you know, Jenny, I have thought and thought and thought. You know, the truth is, I don't have any recollection at all. About being with a woman.
Yeah.
When I sat down to talk with Don, Christy, and Ginny, more than a year had passed since their first meeting. And still, Don could not remember Ginny's mother.
I have no recollection whatever of being part of making a baby. I really don't.
Would you say that you dated lots of women in those early years?
No. I was not a womanizer. I did not chase women.
Don Lloyd is about as healthy and bright a nonagenarian I've ever met. But memory is memory, and it fades, even in the sharpest of minds. Just a couple of days before this interview, though, Christy found some physical evidence, something to help fill in the blanks Don couldn't.
Uncle Pat gave me a letter that you wrote to your mom in April of 1943.
Holy mackerel.
I know. And in this letter, you mention two different women that you were dating during that time.
Two?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm being serious right now.
Did I give them names?
You didn't. You did not give them names. Would it be okay with you if I read the letter to you?
It'd be okay. I can't remember a thing about that, though.
April 6th, 1943. Mother dear, just you don't worry how the house looks when I get home. Believe me, that place will always look good to me, and really, it's home. The new girl I met is also athletic, so perhaps I can get in some tennis. She's a freshman at Colorado Women's College, a fairly big girl, but well-proportioned and a pleasing personality. She is 18 years old, sort of plain-looking, but attractive manners, and her age is actually refreshing. Asked me to prom this Friday and wants me to meet her mother when she visits. She lives in Kansas, Ashland. Won't be here in Denver long, but looks as though she'll be good company. I didn't say much about the other girl I was going with. You underlined was. She pictured herself in love and planned me as a good husband. It was not for me. Some things I didn't approve of went on. Lights are going off, so please take all my love. Dawn. Do you remember this time in your life, Grandpa?
No.
What about the two girls that I mentioned in the, or that you mentioned in the letter?
Well, one of them was quite easy. That was the girl from Colorado Women's College. That was Helen, my wife.
That was her.
The other girl that was mentioned in the letter, I have no idea who it might be.
We tried for a long time to jog Don's memory, without much luck. At one point, I jumped in over the phone.
Did you have any girlfriends before joining the Army? Like just girls you dated?
No, I didn't. I was afraid of them.
All right. I'm trying to jog your memory, but I don't think I'm going to be able to do it.
My memory is pretty short now, I'll tell you.
I don't know. You've got some pretty specific memories of certain points of the past.
Oh, yeah. In certain areas, I have sharp memories. The one thing I do remember, I was having a foot race with another tall fella on the school grounds, you know, and there was quite a gathering there to see who won the race. And when the race was over, this girl came over to me and said, "Oh, Don, I'm glad you won." And I just about flipped. I went into orbit. Said, "Oh, my, thank you so much." It was a girl that I secretly had the hots for. I secretly wanted to hug her. But that's the extent of my memories.
When you reach a certain point, memory, like family, becomes a little arbitrary. What you've lost and what you still have doesn't necessarily have any logic to it. It's unlikely Don will ever remember Jenny's mother. And for the family, that's mostly okay. They've been able to figure out who she was, but Jenny's decided not to contact her family. Why stir the pot? The way she sees it, at her age, all of this is an unexpected gift.
Have you ever felt like you wished this had happened sooner?
Actually, I think the timing was perfect. My adoptive father died in 1980. My mother died in 2001. On my mother's side of the family, once she died, the cousins really have nothing to do with us, me or my sisters. At one time, I was pretty close to all those cousins, many, many cousins, because the families were large. But I don't have any contact with them at all now. And it's the oddest thing. It's like now we don't exist. So I have a lot more contact with all of you, which is just a delight to me. It's like this vast void has been filled. It's been such a special gift to know that my dad is living, and I've seen him, and I've talked to him, and he's a delight, and this is a perfect time in my life for something this special to happen.
Amen. Perfect. perfect answer, because I agree with you 100%.
Grandpa, do you ever wonder if there's any other Ginnies out there?
Oh, for crying out loud. No, I never wonder. That's a life past, and it's gone. Now I'm an old man, and I'm just enjoying meeting my one new daughter.
Twice Removed is produced by Meg Driscoll, Gofen Mputubwele, Matthew Nelson, Audrey Quinn, and Kimmy Regler. Our senior producer is Eric Mennel. Editing by Jorge Just and Pat Walters. Music and engineering by Haley Shaw. Additional music from Blue Note Sessions. This may be the last episode of Twice Removed, but you can hear all of these people on other Gimlet shows, like our new show, Every Little Thing, where they do deep dives into anything that captures their interest, like people who chase eclipses or all the things the federal government keeps stored away for emergencies. Or you can check out Gimlet's newest project on Apple Podcasts as of this week. It's called Mogul, The Life and Death of Chris Lighty. It's a 6-part series about the rise of one of rap music's greatest dealmakers and how it all came crashing down. You've never heard anything like it. I guarantee it. Search for Mogul wherever you get your podcasts. A final thank you to all the people who helped make Twice Removed a reality. Kelly Coonan, Victoria Barner, Stevie Lane, Caitlin Boguki, Anna Sullivan, Kevin Turner, Jim Grau, Caitlin Kenny, Matthew Lieber, Alex Bloomberg, and the many, many other people who helped us out along the way. I'm AJ Jacobs. Thanks for listening to Twice Removed.